That's why the Bible says this word is living and active. It's still alive. Cuts like a knife today. It'll lift you up. It'll convict you. Am I right? Has anyone in this church ever felt convicted of sin? Ever? If not, may I recommend Lighthouse? I'm sorry. Well, God, I mean, I would certainly hope so. I'm in tears in this church sometimes. Okay. When Paul tells another group that Satan transforms his appearance into an angel of light and his ministers can transform what they look like, you've received truth from somebody else's letters that you take home with you when you leave. The entire New Testament is somebody else's letters, so this is no different. Though it's seven churches, though they existed 2,000 years ago, what he says to them, he says to you, it applies to everyone. Let's pick it up. We're in Revelation chapter 2. It's on the handout if you do not have a Bible with you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. The heading in my New King James is the loveless church. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now to the angel of the church at Ephesus, right? Now he's talking to John. John's standing there with a pen. Rolling writer. Wonder what kind of pen he had. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. All right, now starting with these seven churches, he's going to include one of these attributes about himself. That's what he does in each one of these seven. He starts off with something about himself, and then he moves on. Here it's, thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Now let's go back only just one verse to find out what that means. Chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, the Lord speaking. He says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw on my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are. You see that? He's telling you what this means. You don't have to guess. He's telling you what it means. The seven stars are. They're the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. But there was more than seven churches back then. Right. Seven is this number of perfection in the Bible. Represents all. It's a perfect number. Also, let me stop here for a minute. And let me give you my opinion, what I think, after 20 years of study in this book. Knowing and speaking the original language, which I do. Here it goes. Angel does not mean angel in these seven instances where it says to the angel of the church at Ephesus, or here in chapter 1, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The Greek word here is the word angelos. Angelos means messenger, not just angel. An angelos is, quote, a messenger, one who is sent to announce or teach or perform or explore anything, unquote. My lexicon goes on. The angels of the seven churches are probably the bishops and the pastors of those churches, the delegates or messengers of the churches of God. Okay, everyone with me? Why would Jesus write a letter to seven angels and have a man give it to someone that you cannot see? When it says angels, remember, the angels were messengers. Remember on the morning Jesus was born, remember he says, the angels came and announced, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Angelos, that's what an angel is. He was a messenger. So when Jesus said, go and take this to the angelos of the church in Ephesus, he's talking about the preacher. The one who delivers the message. Like sometimes in the bulletin you'll see, might say, today's message. Some churches say sermons, some say message. Because I am the messenger for God in this church. And when you stop hearing from God through me, you got to find another pastor. You guys pay to hear from God here every week. Am I right? I'm the pastor. I'm the messenger here. Let's read this again. To the messenger of the church at Ephesus, right? Even better yet, let's try this way. To the pastor of the church at Ephesus, right? A little more easier to understand now, right? He's not talking to an angel who you cannot see. The letters for the pastor of the church, which is what that word means, angelos. To the pastor of the church in Ephesus, right? All right, now before we move on, again, let's look at the last verse of chapter 1 and see what we have. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And if indeed that is correct, what does that reveal about Jesus' involvement with his churches? Right, he holds the pastors in his hands is what he's saying. And he walks among the churches. Like we got seven lampstands in here. They're not lit bright enough in here right now. But that's what he means. That he walks among the pastors. He holds them in his hand is what he's saying. It's exactly what he said. Now, verse 2. As is customary, the Lord's going to start with an attaboy. Something that they're doing right. With each one of these pastors here, he's going to start telling them what they're doing right first. So, that's verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. All right, now reading somebody else's mail shocks us a little bit. Not bearing with those who are evil? That's not what we were taught, is it? We were taught to be floor mats pretty much, weren't we? That's not what Jesus said. This attitude, you know, I am not going to put up with evil any longer, is an attitude the Lord commends. He says that's the way to do it. Don't put up with evil anymore. He's glad they won't. He's commending them for not putting up with it there at that church. And I'm sure he expects the same from us. Do you put up with evil at the school board meetings when you find out your school board masters of the universe are giving puberty stunting drugs to your children? Putting up with evil is knowing that and not doing anything about it. You know it. You know that behind your back they're giving your kids drugs to stop them from growing. And you know it and don't do anything about it. Well, I just want to get along. You know, by the way, they sure broke with that trend in Florida last Tuesday, let me tell you. Last Tuesday saw the greatest victory the state of Florida's ever had. Even in Miami, the biggest county. Miami's school board is now 7-1. Seven in the favor of I am Jehovah and the one opposed. All over the state of Florida, there was a change on Tuesday where school boards are now run by people who fear God. That's a tremendous victory for us. So this kind of stuff is going to stop now. And he commends them for getting up and making a difference and not putting up with it anymore. But even though you're rising up to make a difference is commendable, remember he's writing to the church and he's writing to the pastor. It's the pastor who must have a hard time with evil. It's up to him to keep this church pure and faithful. It's up to him to stir people up in the community. As God's messenger, that falls on me. He's writing to me. He's not writing to you here. He's writing to me. He's telling me, stir these people up. I'm coming back soon, right? We preach it. He preaches it. I preach it. Watch. Be ready. Be looking out. I gave you the signs to know that you're running out of time. And now it's up to me and up to us to stir people up here. He's writing to the pastor. Remember, this is his mail. Let's see if there's anything else he commends them for. He said, you have tested those who said that they were apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Okay, Jesus commends the pastor in the Ephesians for testing a person who claims to be an apostle. Just like people say today that they are apostles. So how does one do that? How do I test someone? How do you test someone? You meet someone, you say, hi, I'm Steve. And they say, oh, hi, I am Apostle George. How do you test someone? What do you do to test someone? What does the Bible say? How do you do that? Answer, easy. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. According to the Bible, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. So perhaps these of this church, they asked this false apostle, what color were Jesus' eyes? That's the best test. Because if you don't know the answer to that question, and you call yourself an apostle, then you are a false apostle. An apostle knows the color of Jesus' eyes. Because an apostle knew Jesus. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not, or is it chapter 11, verse 1? He says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? You could answer that question. An apostle saw Jesus. He knew the color of his eyes. And then he was sent, they were sent all around the world with this message. I've seen him after he died. And he's not dead at all. He's still alive. That was the message of an apostle. But you had to know and see that. You had to be an eyewitness. You can't be on the eyewitness news if you're not an eyewitness. Right? How can you be on the eyewitness news if you haven't seen anything? These guys saw it. Paul said over 500 people saw him on one day after he had died. 500 people. Saw this man alive. And then they were scattered with that message. You can't tell these guys that wasn't true. They saw it themselves. This was special power and authority these guys had. So Jesus commends them for testing that to find out. Here's another verse, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Paul wrote this. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and in mighty deeds. An apostle, if you got in Peter's shadow, it could heal you. The Bible says that extraordinary miracles took place at the hands of Paul. Paul's handkerchief would heal you. Lastly, perhaps those in Ephesus failed what I like to call the prosperity test. Because this here is what a true apostle looked like. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul wrote this. I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now. And this is what an apostle looks like. Ever seen one of those? Look at this list of 12 things. They're last. They're condemned. They're public spectacles. They're fools. They're weak. They're dishonored. They're hungry. They got their clothes at a thrift store, not Savile Row. They're homeless. This sounds like our food pantry saints. Doesn't it? It most closely resembles an apostle. Those that come here every other Saturday. Number 10, they're hated. Number 11, they're persecuted. And number 12, they are the filth of the world. And you're an apostle? An apostle was naked. As a general rule of thumb, I like to say an apostle was naked and homeless and had a bashed-in head. That's how you spot one. And you're not going to spot one because they had to know the color of his eyes. And you're not going to find anyone alive anymore that can tell you that. Now, these were well-schooled in Ephesus. 30 years earlier, the pastor or the messenger of this church was a young man named Timothy. Right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus and ministered to people. All right, verse 3, more commendation. He said, "You have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." See, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name. Paul wrote, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Meaning you might not be rewarded here in this life for what you do, but you will be coming up in the next one. Now, Jesus is watching. And your labor is not in vain. Again, the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Or another translation says, if we don't. If we don't faint. Keep up the good work. Don't faint. Don't give up. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. You will be rewarded for what you're doing here for Jesus, your work here. Okay, what are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church and the pastor here? Verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I've got this against you, that you've left your first love." So the first love was what or whom? It's him. He was the first love. That's the whole reason for their salvation. The point and reason for everything is Jesus. Remember? That's their first love. The whole reason for them being right with God is because of Jesus, lest we forget. Lest we forget. That's why we're here and why we're going to have this here this morning. Lest we forget. Lest we forget all that he did on the cross. Once a month we take the time and have the bread and the wine. He says, "This is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now these guys have left this.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
words of my mouth cannot express how good you are. With this song in my heart, it will shout how great you are. Waking my soul, let this song come from. Of my mouth cannot express how good you are. With this song in my heart, it will shout how great you are. Waking my soul, let this song count.
Listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. About one-fourth of nearly 200 nations studied by the Pew Research Center used force to prevent religious gatherings during the COVID pandemic. A newly released Pew study of restrictions on religion around the world examined 198 countries and territories. Authorities in 46 of those areas, that's about 23%, used physical means, including assault, detention, property damage or confiscation, displacement or death, to enforce pandemic-related restrictions on worship services and other religious gatherings. The total does not include countries that use less stringent means of enforcement,